Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran College. It's a pleasure to have all of you here this morning for your teachers' conference. I think it's just so wonderful for you to get out of the classroom so you can come back into a classroom. The order of service will be in the worship folder this morning for you. And just one other announcement that if for communion, if you are on the lectern side, that's the side I'm on right now, when you come up the middle, if you would come and line up and then move to your left, my right, and then there's some holy tape here. I think we brought it back from the Middle East after a pilgrimage Chaplain Molstead was on. And so if you could stay to this side of the white tape, you're all Germans for the most part, I know, so this should be very easy for you. Some of the Norwegians on this campus would struggle. My last name is Schmidt. We're okay. And then if you are on the pulpit side, obviously, again, to go down to your right and then also then up to the tape here. And then also as you are leaving after you have received the cup, there are little tables there for you to, if you choose to use the individual cups, to place the individual cups that are now empty there and then process back up the side aisles to your seat. Those are the instructions we have this morning. May the Lord bless our worship. We'll open now by singing our first hymn, Hymn 2, out of the hymn book, Hymn 2, verses 1 and 2.
Have mercy on us. To all believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Grant your son to us, O Lord. Amen.
The epistle lesson comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and this is also our sermon text, chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Carefully consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel lesson is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Please stand. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in people's presence, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Be seated. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for calling us into your kingdom of grace through the light of your gospel by giving us a knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We also thank you for placing us in positions in your church where we teach the children at our feet. We pray that you would stir up our hearts in true and sincere faith to appreciate your wonderful grace and use us as your instruments to deliver that same wonderful truth to others. We ask this all in our Lord's saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, his compassion is yours to be found alone in that Savior. Many years ago, when I was in seminary, I heard the story from a friend of mine of a young lady who had grown up in a very dysfunctional home where there was a lot of abuse. And yet, her parents sent her to a Lutheran grade school. And she told this friend of mine that she oftentimes had thought about ending her own life. But because of the influence of her teacher and because of the wonderful truths that she was learning in the classroom on a daily basis, that she knew that was not what God's plan should be for her. And it made her appreciate God's grace and the education that she had received to such an extent that it sort of carried her through into adulthood and today lives a very fine Christian adult life. I was blessed with wonderful parents. I didn't have difficulty in my home life at all. I had Ward and June Cleaver as my mom and dad from, not quite, but had a wonderful home life. And yet I still look back with tremendous fondness on my Christian day school teachers. My mom herself was a teacher too, although never of mine, but I look back with great fondness on that as well. And I think about not only what they taught me, but even the very hymn that we just sang, our creedal hymn today, one of my teachers teaching that to me in grade school. Our text that we had earlier, the epistle lesson, says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you." You might call that a loving command from God. Make sure that you think about and remember those who spoke the word of God to you, who were in positions of guiding you in your faith, pastors, teachers, parents, whomever it might be. You have chosen as the theme for your conference, "The Lord is my light." And that light of God and his truth, his grace, comes to us through agents. God uses individuals to deliver that wonderful light to people, and especially the children in front of us. There's a very delicate transfer that takes place between the generations with this light. There's a very careful transfer between one generation to the next. And you are in such important, crucial positions for that to take place in the Church of God, for the delivery of the faith of the saints to be passed on from generation to generation. Let's take just a moment to reflect on what this light is, this precious light that is being talked about at our conference this week. What is this light that we have been given? We often think of light as something that exposes things, that shines into something to show a problem. And there's certainly that element to the light of God's word. The law of God shines down into my heart and into my conscience, into my life and into my past, and it doesn't always see such great things. We're told that Jesus, at the great story of the paralytic that was dropped in front of him in that room full of people, we're told that Jesus could read the hearts of everybody in the room. His omniscience peered down into the hearts. Imagine today, right now, if an actual light of truth could shine down into my or your most private moments, into your most secret things that have happened in your life, your past failures, the thoughts and ideas that you've had in your mind. How many marriages in this sanctuary would end? How many children in our classroom would just be repulsed by some of the things inside of us? How many calls would be revoked by congregations? How many parents might come and remove their children out of our classrooms? How many might even be in trouble with the law? Consider this. God sees it all. He knows it all. He shines his law down inside of me and every one of us. He sees us at our most despicable moments in our lives, the most horrible things that we have done and thought. And yet, he still loves us. He still loves you. He still wants you to be his child. He put his name on you in your baptism. He still wants you to come to heaven. He still wants you to have faith. He still wants you to know that your sins are completely forgiven. He didn't wait for you to change or do something to make that happen. He did it first for you. While we were still sinners, Paul says, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, all of the most despicable things inside of us. And because of that, for those who have faith in their hearts in Christ, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the precious light that has been given to us in the gospel. And what a sad thing it would be tonight to have one of you, just one of you, go to bed and put your head down on your pillow and be uncertain about your salvation. May that not happen. And in order to give you the assurance that Christ has done this for you, to give you the assurance that you are a child of God bound for heaven, your Savior now will take his very body and blood that was used to buy your entrance into heaven and to pay for every one of your sins, and by his powerful word will place it into bread and wine to be put in your mouth for you to eat and to drink with certainty, absolute certainty, that you are a child of God, forgiven, and someone who's already a citizen of heaven by faith. This has all been done for you. What a precious gift we have been given from our Heavenly Father. Just for a moment, think about the path of how that light of the gospel has made it into your life. Maybe parents and teachers and pastors. But before that, who taught them? Who taught the ones who taught them? What missionaries way back helped to bring this, that path of light into your life? What teachers, what pastors, what parents? What sacrifices were made? What blood was shed for you and me to be able to know and appreciate and treasure this precious light that we have in the gospel today? Our text says again, listen, remember your leaders. And that not only means the ones, the generation right before you, but the whole history back. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. And then he instructs us. And this is where it's so important for us as teachers in the church. Carefully consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. Imitate how they did it. Jesus Christ, he says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. There's a link between how things were done in the past, all the way back in the history of the church, to you and me today. There's a link to all of that. And it has delivered the same Jesus Christ who was the same then and today and will be tomorrow. And that's how you avoid, how you and I avoid getting caught up in all kinds of strange teachings. We have a wonderful heritage that we have been blessed with in our two synods, the Wisconsin Synod and the ELS. Our fellowship started in 1872. Just think of that, 1872. How has this managed to be preserved through the years? Totally by God's grace, of course. Even at a time when other people have drifted away from the true Lutheran faith, the Christian biblical faith. Back in the late 1800s, it was a very dangerous time for both of our church bodies. At the time in the Wisconsin Synod, there were many who had grown very soft on their understanding of things in the Bible. And though they carried the name Lutheran, they had started to borrow so heavily from many of the Reformed influences around them that they were starting to lose many of the doctrines of Scripture. And inside of the Wisconsin Synod, there were some great leaders. One of the best was Adolf Haneke, who rose up to teach people and pastors and teachers to go back to the original confessions of their church, to go back and refresh themselves in not only the biblical doctrine, but how it was confessed historically in the history of the church. And that strength started to lift the Wisconsin Synod into a solid confessional Lutheran church body. That's the backbone of the Synod as it went forward. What a blessing that was for him by God's grace to instruct in that way. In our little ELS, likewise, at that same time, we had many in our midst that were starting to drift towards a much more liberal position on things. And yet, thanks to great leaders, for instance, one being Ulrich Koren, he did the same thing. He instructed pastors and teachers to go back to the confessions of your church. Study the path by which this wonderful truth has made it to you. And that became a great strength. This still poses a great danger for us today. Many of you probably studied under the feet of Lyle Lang, good friend of mine, passed away a few years ago over at MLC. I'd like to read for you something that he spoke at our Reformation lectures a few years ago. He said, "Lutherans today are making liberal use of Reformed materials, music and things like that. As our forefathers discovered, you cannot package the gospel in Reformed theology without losing the message of sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide." It's a pretty strong lesson. You are the most susceptible to lose the truth when you just assume that because of your affiliation with a particular church body, you already possess it. We need to make sure to go back and restudy it, to regrow that faith in us on a daily basis, to be reconnected over and over to the precious truths in Scripture that have been confessed down through the years as we remember the leaders who spoke the Word of God to us. May we never take this precious heritage that we have for granted. This light has been passed down to us, and sometimes it has been a very delicate transition, and it can easily be lost. Let's not believe that we can dabble into other theological systems and borrow from them without bringing an infection into the teachings and the truth that we want to stand for as church bodies. We need to regularly go back and study the original sources of our faith and imitate their faith, imitate how it was brought to us. I don't know if you teachers realize what a blessing you are to Lutheranism and Christianity here in America. And I'll say it like this. If you look at the church bodies inside of Lutheranism that have stayed the firmest theologically to the Word of God and to the teachings of Scripture, you will find that they are the ones that are the most dedicated to having Christian schools. The ones that do not have that dedication, you can take their members and lead them anywhere you want. You make my job very difficult here at Bethany because I teach many of your students when they get to college. And the problem is they know their theology pretty well already, but not everybody else does that comes to this campus. That creates a challenge for us sometimes. What a blessing you are and have been and will continue to be to God's holy church in this world. Think what a privilege it is that we have had this light passed down to us by many future or previous generations, faithful teachers and pastors. But we don't just possess it by having it handed to us. May each one of us, by God's grace, cherish and treasure it and make it our own. Make it our own in our own lives and hearts as we have the great joy of teaching it to the kids in front of us. Amen. Now gather our offering.
service by singing the preface to Holy Communion there, the two verses of All Hail the Power of Jesus. Forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. The distribution hymns are listed there on the back side of the worship folder. They are found in the hymn book. Come, for all things are now ready.
Thank you.
life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Please rise. Let us pray. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through these salutary gifts. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through them in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Verses 1, 2, and 4.